going to look a little bit more at 2 Peter. I'm not really giving an exposition through Peter, but I'm taken up with the transformation, the work of grace that Peter brings forth here. You know, I was wanted to mention, I'm thankful I was taught growing up in church about raising my hands. And just a side note on that, it took me a long time to come into a liberty in a meeting where I could just raise my hands and worship the Lord. Now, when I started doing that, I didn't even know why I was doing that. I started doing it because others were doing it. And I've heard different explanations why people raise their hands in meeting. Have you ever, you know, maybe you don't do that in your fellowship. But the best that really touched me and meant something to me was that it's good to show the enemy you're absolutely free. There's no chains. I'm not bound by anything. And now, I like that one. I've heard other ones. I've heard that, you know, you got to hold up your cup. Have you heard that one? Now, the good saint from the Elizabeth Church, Sister Collis, she said that it was like holding your umbrella upside down so you could get all the blessing. That one I didn't care for so much. It didn't mix with me well, you know. What I started as a young person thinking, well, why would we have an umbrella in church? You know, and, you know, analyzing it. That doesn't make sense to me. Well, I went with that, you know what, I need to show the enemy something. No matter how I feel, no matter what my disposition, no matter what the circumstance or the situation in my life, I'm free because of the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, try it sometime. Body language means a lot, doesn't it? You know, we have a person in the chapel. He's always saying, he's a Swiss man, and he's always saying, you know, I could tell a lot about you by your body language. And, you know, and so, of course, here, I'm always wondering, okay, what am I going to hear today? And he goes, Pastor, I see the way you're holding your hands. I make you insecure. Yes. You know, and he does that too. I see their hands. He comes up to me and says, I see your hands on your hips. Means you're ready to give me some authority. You know? Have you ever thought about that? I hadn't until he started just berating me with the different forms of body language. But I began to realize how important body language is. We do express ourselves that way. No matter what your nature or personality, you express yourself in body language. And it makes sense to me that when it comes to the Lord, that we express ourselves, right? And I found a liberty and a freedom in it. Well, may God give us that liberty to just worship Him with all that's within us, body, soul, and spirit. We've been looking at 2 Peter, and we talked about, was that yesterday, I guess? Thank you. Looking at 2 Peter chapter 1, just those first four verses. And we talked about this transformation, and just in the very first verse where Peter says, I was Simon, but Jesus changed my name. He changed me. He transformed me, translated me, right? I was Simon, but He called me Peter the Rock. And then Peter goes on, he says, I'm a bondservant, and I am an apostle of Jesus Christ. And he, in the very next portion, he says, this is all because of the precious faith with us by the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. That like precious faith, I want to make a few comments more about that. Peter said, that faith changed me. Do you find it easy to change? Do you ever have a time in your life when you say, you know, I've got to change the way, maybe it's the way that I handle situations. Maybe it's something in your life that has, well, you know what they say? They say broken hearts leave jagged edges. And maybe your heart's been broken. And you're finding in your life that, no, you have jagged edges. What do I mean by that? You react differently. You don't respond, you react. Why? Because your heart is broken. And you know, this has got to change in me. But it's not always easy, is it? Right? Or maybe it is, Mary mentioned bitterness. You know, I don't like it when there are people who go to other people that have a difficulty and say, why don't you just snap out of it? You know, I remember one pastor, he said, you know what we need to do? He said, I like to tell some people they need to put a rubber band on their head and snap out of it. Well, that doesn't happen. I wish it was that easy, right? I would be handing out rubber bands in this room, and I would just happily be stretching it out and snapping on something. But it's not that easy. We don't change easily. But we have the Holy Spirit. And when we yield and when we surrender, we change. And Peter is a perfect example of how God transformed his life. And it's all through this like precious faith. And what is that faith? Well, it's the faith that Jesus Christ became our all in all. That he took care of the sin issue. You know, that's a great part of this precious faith, to have a full realization that the sin issue is settled. I don't know if we always get that. We still travel around a little bit with guilt. And you need to recognize why. Look at the sin issue is settled, and we can come boldly now to that throne of grace. You don't have to fix yourself up. You don't have to try, when I get things right, I'll draw near to God. That's working backwards, isn't it? We come because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we might be imperfect, we might have our flaws, we might have our failures, and yes, that's true, but what's so wonderful about this faith, this precious faith, this valuable faith, is that I can show up now because of Jesus Christ just as I am. And the wonderful truth is, I leave different. But sometimes the enemy gets us to where we don't show up. We don't feel worthy. We stay back, right? And that's not it. It would be like this. It would be like, you know, I have something going on physically, and I'm not well. I have a terrible cough and everything. But I'm not going to go to Sister Jean because she doesn't want to see me like this. And you know, I know if I go over there to Mercy and I'm coughing and I have a bit of a fever, she's going to stand on the porch and go, stay back, get away. I don't think you've ever done that, have you? There's been reports of it. No, there hasn't. You know, but that would be ridiculous, right? I mean, she's there for us to get help. And that's the Heavenly Father. That's what Jesus purchased, that we can come and he might change us. This is that precious faith. And I wanted to mention a little bit about this precious faith, how it changes us. You know what, if you have your Bible, turn, just flip back to 1 Peter 1. And this is what he says there. Let's start at verse 13. About this like precious faith, the work of Jesus Christ, who paid it all for us, lived the perfect life for us, laid down that perfect life for us, was raised up for us. This is what he says there. He says in verse 13 of chapter 1, therefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in what? In fear. that this is the part, though, here in verse 18. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's wonderful. That's the price that was paid for us. That's the value of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That we were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And I want to do something for us, and I want to bring out just quickly three things. When you absolutely know what Peter is talking about here, this like precious faith that we have been purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. Not with silver or gold, but by the blood of Jesus Christ. It ought to bring out some truths in us that are unmovable, that are just sustain us, that keep us. And you know, here's the first one. When you fully understand and have come into this precious faith and you know its value, you realize because you've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, you're valued. You are valued. And you know that you know your worth. Because the world will work, and the enemy will work on tearing you down. The enemy is so good at showing you your flaws. But when you know that you've been purchased and bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, then God's love defines you, nothing else. I think one of the most powerful songs for us to know is Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, for the Bible tells me so. Because there's a lot out there that can make you feel worthless. There's a lot out there in the world that can define you and say you're this, you're labeled by this. And we need to say in this like precious faith, God defines us. And what is that? I'm valued. I have worth. I've been purchased. Purchased by the Lamb of God. Not with silver or blood. I haven't been bought back by that. I mean silver and gold. I've been bought back by the blood of the Lamb. But you know, there's another aspect of knowing this precious, valuable faith. And it's this. I know I've been rescued. I've been rescued. Have you ever been rescued by something or from something? You know, I remember, and I share sometimes of how I was rescued. I was a lifeguard here at camp for several years. A good friend of mine and I, we were at the Sandy Hook Beach and down by the ocean. And he was a lifeguard and I was a lifeguard for a couple of years. We had some experience there. But we got caught in one of those things called the riptide. And I've always heard of riptide but never experienced one. But I experienced this one. And just as we were catching waves, as we Jersey boys do, you know? Do you know what catching a wave is? Most of my life it's just been a wave knocking me down, to tell you the truth. But catching a wave was you body surf it right into the shore. And we were doing that, just he and I. And all of a sudden we swam out to catch another wave. And I said, Jonathan, look, I didn't know what happened. I said, look, the people on the beach are this big, that big. I said, it took us so far out, so fast. And I said, we better start swimming in. So here's two trained lifeguards. You know what? We started swimming towards shore, which is what you're not supposed to do in a riptide. So we're swimming and swimming and swimming and swimming and swimming. And Jonathan's a big fella. He's the pastor of the Kingsburg Church. He's a big guy and a strong man. And I noticed he wasn't getting ahead of me. We were both swimming and swimming. And finally it came to a point when I was completely exhausted. And I remember just saying to him, Jonathan, I don't think I'm going to make it. And I really felt that way. It wasn't just I really felt like, well, this is it, you know? And This is the nature of Jonathan. He was working so hard to get to shore himself, but when he heard, I'm not going to make it, he did what came natural to him, and he swam over to me. I just didn't want to hear him say, we'll go down together. He didn't do that. But you know, he got a hold of me. Got a hold of me. And that was, you know, that's all I needed. That's what I needed. I just needed to know someone was there. And when he swam over to me, it caused us to swim on a diagonal. You know? And just as quick as we got out to sea, we came back in. And I said, Jonathan, I rescued you. No, I didn't say that. But you know, we got back on shore. Sat down on that beach. And both of us looked at each other and just kind of went, oh, thank you, Lord. It really felt that way. You know, it's an awesome thing to be rescued. To get back, get your feet back on solid ground. To be pulled in. I just want to relate one other lifeguard story with you. That a lesson that I learned. When I was taking the lifeguard course at the YMCA, we had a really good instructor. And he said, you know, what we're going to teach you today is how to be rescued. I thought that was interesting. How to be rescued. I mean, I was here to be a hero, not to be a victim. But he said, we're going to start with letting you get rescued. So he had us in the water, and what we were to do was to tread water until we got weary, and then another trainee would jump in and rescue us. And so we went through that whole routine of being rescued and pulled up on to the side of the pool. And that was good. And then he said, now, our next session, we have another exercise. And in that exercise, what you're going to do is you're going to all sit alongside the pool. And then what's going to happen is someone is going to be out there and they're going to be the victim. And I'm going to walk along the pool and tap you on the shoulder and you are going to be the rescuer. And you'll have to jump in and go and rescue that person. But that victim is not going to be real helpful to you. They're going to panic and they're going to cling to you. So we have a signal, and that signal is that if you get tapped two times, then the victim needs to release you. So I thought, wow, this will be good, okay. So I said, I sat there saying, boy, I hope I don't get picked. You know, but sure enough, here came, you know how nerve-wracking that is. He's walking behind us as we're lined up on the edge of the pool. And sure enough, I see him coming, but I thought, you know, I'm just a scrawny little guy. He's not going to pick me. Well, he picked me. And I had to go rescue this big guy who was treading water out there, knowing that he was going to give me a hard time. And I remember swimming out to him, did all the proper things, which I totally forget now. And, you know, we started, I grabbed him and he clung to me. And then we, in those things, they taught us how to break away and all of this. But I remember not being able to break away from him. So we began to tumble in that water, if you could imagine that, spinning around. And it's one thing that if you're going to rescue somebody, it's good to have air in your lungs. And I was losing air. And I said, you know what? This is going south, or rather, this is going down on me fast. And I remember giving him the two-finger tap. I tapped him on the shoulder. I tapped him on the leg. I tapped him everywhere. He wasn't getting it. And we just kept, it seemed like forever. You know how that goes in those panic moments, right? And I was receiving less and less air. I said, surely he's going to see I'm turning blue and just let go and we'll call this whole thing off. He didn't. I finally broke away from him. Finally got away from him. not with two taps of the fingers, but rather two swift kicks up the knee. He got the idea and he let me go. And I remember, folks, if you've ever did this in the water, I remember coming up and just getting like a big mouth bass, getting my mouth just up out of the water once I figured which way was up. And I let out a hoo-hoo-hoo. You know, it's amazing you could be dying and still get embarrassed. Isn't it true? You know, I'm practically dead. And I'm still saying, boy, that was embarrassing. But my lungs were filled with air again. And then here's the thing. Here's the wisdom. Here's the wonderful thing that that teacher taught us. You see, previously I had been the victim. And I had been, and he had taught me how to be rescued. And so even though I was completely wiped out, what was sewn into me was, my job now is to rescue. And although I was weary, worn, and almost drowned, I said, I got to go get him. And instead of going over to the side of the pool and saying, I'm sorry I failed that test, he had sewn into me that, no, my job is now to rescue. And I went ahead and I said to that big fella, just let me get you to the other side of the pool. Now, I got him and pulled him over. Well, my whole point in telling you this story is this, that in this precious, valuable faith that we have, yes, the first thing is this, I know my worth. I don't have to guess at it. I don't have to go by how I feel or my achievements or you know, how well or my performance. I am sure of this because God has defined me. How has He defined you, Brother Keith? He shed His precious blood for me. He purchased me on Calvary. God loved me so much that He paid the price for me. And you know what? He's not going to throw me away too easily when He paid that cost for me. So I've been defined by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the second thing is this, if you realize that, is I know what it's like to be rescued. I know what it's like to be saved. And there's something in me now that I realize that there are others out there that need to be rescued. When you get that, when your understanding of this precious, valuable faith reaches your heart, you look at your unsaved loved ones differently. You look at your coworkers differently. You know, look at that person maybe in your school or in your family or home that maybe isn't the most lovable or likable. You look at them a little differently. Instead of saying they're a pain in the neck or I don't want to be around them, or I think I'm going to avoid them for the rest of the best that I can. Suddenly now, because you've been rescued by the blood of Jesus Christ, and you know that valuable, precious faith, you look at them a little differently and say, no, wait a minute, my job is to have faith for them. Because somebody had faith for me. Someone believed God to get a hold of my life. Mm-hmm. It's a difference, isn't it? Mm-hmm. There's one other part of that, like precious faith, that God does for us. And we take it for granted, we children of the kingdom. We kind of just take it for granted. You know, we're always wanting God to do something more and something further, and that's good. But you know, sometimes you have to really appreciate what you got before you get more. And it's this, here's the third thing. God has given us a destiny. He's given us a purpose. You know, what Isaiah said? In Isaiah, God told Isaiah, I want you to shout this. He didn't tell him just say it. He said, I want you to shout this. And what did Isaiah have to shout? That all men are like grass. Shout that, he said. Shout it to the people. All men are like grass. What did he mean? Well, in that chapter, he goes on to say, we're just passing away. We rise up and we go. But that's not so. That's not so with us. We're not just born and living our lives, raising our families, doing our jobs. You know, we've been given a destiny. We've been given a purpose, a meaning, a real meaning in this life. It all makes sense. Now, there's a lot out there that doesn't make sense, right? Can't figure it. Don't know why that happened. Can't always see that. You know, those things float around, and sometimes God reveals to us why and how come. But there's one sure thing in every child of the kingdom. There's a purpose in my life now. There's a reason. And you know, that reason is the will of God. And He reveals it to us daily. You know, I often said, God, why don't you give me your agenda for my life? Wouldn't that be great? No. I realized it wouldn't be so great. I thought for sure I wanted an agenda. Show me first that I'm going to do this. Then show me, Lord, that this will happen. And then show me, Lord God, what's around this corner or next month. Or, you know, I found out something. I'm better off sometimes being lost. I'm better off being clueless. Why? I keep my eyes on the shepherd. I may not know what's around the corner, but I know who's around the corner. And Jesus will always be there. That's that like precious faith. Yes. That's the wonderful faith we have in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that has been purchased for us. And just to read it again, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, that faith protects us, keeps us on the way, transforms us. Father, we thank you for your precious faith, the precious faith we have in Jesus Christ. We pray, O God, that we will see how valuable this is, how wonderful it is. Help us to utilize it, Lord. Help us, O God, on a daily basis to say, Lord, you have purchased me. I'm yours. You value me, O God. And Lord, if you value me, then I know that I'm in your care. I know, O God, that the things that I'm concerned about or worried about or fret about are things that you've already made provisions for, because you are my Heavenly Father. Yes. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you rescued us, pulled us out of a perishing world, saved us from the corruption of this world, and brought us into a narrow way that leads to life. And Lord, we thank you for that. Thank you, O God, that we can move and be a vehicle for someone else to know this truth and know this way as well. We thank you too, Lord. You've given us our lives purpose and meaning. Serving you, worshiping you, fulfilling your will. We want to be more and more, Lord, dedicated to that. Give us ears to hear and give us hearts that respond to your beckoning, we pray. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we have a morning of prayer. And I want to invite you that we will be meeting in the prayer room here in a little while. Feel free to come, wait on the Lord. Stay as long as you like. We will be staying until 12. We'll be there to 12, but you can come and stay as long as you like and just enjoy the Lord's presence and believe that God will just come and meet us. And I believe He will. Let's sing And Can It Be? 60. Thank you. Number 60. Let's stand together, shall we? Interested, the Savior's blood.
shouldst die for me. 'Tis mystery all immortal dies. Who can explore his strange design? In vain the firstborn seraph tries.
Lord Jesus. Praise his name. We thank you, oh God. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We praise you, oh God. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, dear God. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, God. So as grateful children, Lord, we walk in that grace today. Free, loved. Thank you that you think of us, that you're mindful of us. Oh, God, that alone is awesome. Thank you, Lord, that you, through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, has purchased us. That you took care of the sin issue, Lord, that we can come boldly before that throne of grace. Work in us today. Oh Lord, we pray, God, that we will give you the praise and the thanks for the things that we acknowledge you're doing in us and the things we don't acknowledge. We thank you that you are continually causing us to see Jesus high and lifted up and his train filling the temple. And so as we go forth, we give you all the praise that's due your name. And we thank you, Father, in his mighty name. In the name of Jesus, amen. God bless you.